All right, beautiful people. Big Rob, you doing okay today, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great, sir. And you?
Good. We want to thank everybody who came out and donated out at Culver's the other day. And also thank you to Friendship Baptist Church for a huge donation to the kids we took after the program. And I also got to thank the Honorable Cedric Richmond, who we had in the studio about a month ago. He's working behind the scenes to help make our trip in Ghana the best trip ever. We got 17 kids, 10 from Ypsilanti and 7 from Muskegon. And we got a couple of judges joining us. We got the Muskegon County Clerk joining us. We got the superintendent of Ypsilanti Public Schools joining us. We got some educators joining us, a writer. We got some good people joining us on this journey. And we're so excited about that.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, the next guest, no stranger to Muskegon, no stranger to the screen, the TV screen, the movie screen, no stranger to the book writing scene, no stranger to Michigan. I mean, he's been posted up in Michigan for a while, but he threw his name in the political arena. We came on the scene. We knew about him as Obama's friend, as a person who went to school with President Obama, who attended Harvard College, and was an actor. We want to welcome to the show Hill Hopper. How you doing today, Mr. Hill Hopper?
Doing well, man. I saw that ad about that trip to Tanzania. I was like, man, this looks like a great trip. I'm trying to go on that trip.
Holler at me. We would love to have you on this trip. You know, I started this business during the pandemic, and we hosted a lot of people from America, so we made sure the price is just right.
That's right. I've had the honor to go to South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Kenya, just to name a few. And it's any time I could go to the continent, it's just such an honor and a privilege. So, listen, I may have to jump in that trip with you. We'll see. It's beautiful. I'm just glad you're doing that. And you're exposing opportunities, particularly, as you just said, young people, the opportunity to see beyond their world, see beyond their community, see beyond their state, country, etc. And so I look forward to taking my son, who's only 8 years old. I look forward to taking him to the continent and exposing him as well. So that's great. As you can see, I'm driving. We're driving all across the state. I'm in the midst, as you mentioned, my U.S. Senate campaign. And so part of what we have to do is meet people where they are. That means put on hundreds of thousands of miles going everywhere across the state. We got 83 counties in Michigan. We got to meet people everywhere and go out and win this election. So we're en route, just left Lansing and en route to the next location. So I'm just happy to be able to talk and chat and jump in the show. So thank you so much. Coming to Muskegon very soon. So we know that. Right? And Darwin Smith and all folks in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights, I've spent a lot of time there sending love that way.
Wow. Well, welcome to the show. I've been watching your grind, and I know this run for you probably has not been the easiest. You're considered an outsider. But how do you win over those status quo people that's connected in the Democratic Party?
You know, what's great is we're winning voters pretty much 3-1 that we get in front of. It's just getting in front of more people, because you got to remember, our message resonates with the vast majority of Democratic voters, and my opponent's message does not. I mean, quite simply. And so when we talk about, listen, I don't take corporate PAC money. I'm not taking any money from APAC, et cetera. I'm actually running to represent people, want to pass universal health care that includes mental health care, want to pass women's reproductive rights, women's reproductive freedom, and fight to pass that, fight to pass common sense gun laws, fight to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights and Advancement Act, fight to pass the PRO Act to undergird our unions, fight to end Citizens United, which is crushing our democracy and allowing for dark money in our politics, fight to end the filibuster, which is going to keep us from passing all those big tentpole legislation pieces I just mentioned. Fight to end mass incarceration, fight to end endless foreign wars and the taxpayer dollar going to that, fight to support our public schools. I mean, everything I just mentioned, the vast majority of Michigan Democratic voters and quite frankly, the vast majority of Michigan voters, period, because I don't care if you got an R by your name, a D or an I, you know, I want to represent people and I want to represent solutions for the most people, particularly people that have not had their voices heard, people who can't write the biggest checks. And so that's why we're winning the voters. And that's why we have so much momentum. The real question is between now and August 6th, can we get in front of enough voters? Can we get our message out in front of enough voters? Because we win them over 3-1.
Are there any debates scheduled?
So
any debates?
My opponent has pulled out of every debate in every candidate forum that has been offered to date.
Wow.
And that's a disqualifier right there, if you ask me. She pulled out of the Mackinac Policy Conference debate, which was going to be aired live across the state on PBS and had all the major journalists from all political journalists from all across the state there. And she was actually there. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to be there. She was there. We were there at the same time. We could have done the debate. We had a debate set up with Wood TV in Grand Rapids, pulled out of that. The Michigan Democratic Party Black Caucus called for a debate in Canada Forum. She refuses that invitation. Redford County Township Dems, no. Washtenaw County Dems did not show. So she's robbing the voter of the ability to be informed. And so when I'm on platforms like this, I just have to inform people and be honest. There are massive differences. Yes, we're both Democrats running for the Democratic Party nomination for what is arguably the most important Senate seat in the country, this open U.S. Senate seat here in Michigan. And here are some of the differences I just want people to know, and then we can talk about them if you want to go deeper.
Sure.
She did not co-sponsor the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. I would have voraciously co-sponsored the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. She did not co-sponsor the Cannabis and Expungement Act. I would have voraciously co-sponsored the Cannabis and Expungement Act. She voted against student loan debt relief in 2020. 63% of Black wealth goes to student loan debt repayment. I would have certainly voted with my party for student loan debt relief. She signed an NDA with a Chinese-backed company called Goshen. Why is your congressperson signing NDAs with Chinese-backed companies like Goshen? She voted for FISA 702, which is warrantless surveillance of American citizens. Who gets targeted on warrantless surveillance? We know the answer to that. She voted to sanction the ICC last week when the ICC said that there were crimes against humanity being committed by Netanyahu. We can go on and on about what the differences are in this race, but there are a vast majority of differences. And even if you don't like me, there are multiple disqualifiers of her. And quite frankly, I'm running to represent people. I'm running to represent all people in this state. And we're a people power campaign. That's why we have all the momentum. We just need to get in front of more folks. That's why being on a platform like this is critical.
Wow. Live on Facebook, we're going to be playing this back on radio. Big Rob, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I see in your campaign material, some of your campaign material, you want to help small businesses. Can you speak more on the small businesses and
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. And this goes to another difference. You know, my opponent is a career government employee, career politician. I'm not a career politician at all, and I've been a small business owner for the last 7 years. I think it's very clear to all of us that small businesses in neighborhoods and communities are the engine of that community's economy and provide an opportunity for the recirculation of the dollar in that community. If we don't own businesses in these communities, then the dollar leaves our community as soon as we get it. We have to undergird small businesses and small business ownership in our communities to create wealth and the recirculation of the dollar. And so what does that mean federally? It means federally, I'm going to fight so that we get access to low-cost capital. There are so many people who want to open up businesses in communities. So it's not for a lack of people who want to do it. It's a lack of access to capital to to get the businesses open, keep them healthy and successful during the first 3 years that are the most vulnerable years of any small business. So, and we also know that when people open up small businesses in community, they hire people from the community. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out if you want to actually create jobs in a community, you have to undergird and support the opening of small businesses and support local entrepreneurs. It makes sense. It provides healthy ecosystems, a healthy economy, and it also provides for a healthier community. Many of our communities are so-called food deserts. I call it food apartheid because it's more systemic than anything else. And apartheid was systemic. To solve systemic problems, you have to create new systemic solutions. What is that? Ultimately, it roots all the way down to access to low-cost capital so that you have an opportunity to scale up your business. It's also about upskilling people. There are a number of people that want to open up a small business, but they've actually never learned the skills of how do you do accounting, QuickBooks, all of the things that require the filings, the things that are necessary to do to open up and keep a healthy small business active. You look at what happened during COVID, hundreds of billions with a B in federal dollars were put out to so many small businesses, yet many in our community never received the funding because we weren't operating. We were operating in these individual accounts, these cash-oriented businesses where we didn't have the paperwork to access that those federal dollars. We have to create the systems, the learning, the teaching, and the upskilling for people. And that just means invest. Invest in people, invest in communities. And why is the investment not happening? It's not happening because the people we're talking about don't have lobbyists. They don't have corporate PACs. They don't have super PACs. They don't have big donors. And why do we keep electing the same type of politicians to office, the same establishment-backed candidates that promise all these things and then deliver nothing? And that's why I think my message is resonating so well with so many people, because they know I don't fit that bill. And they know I'm running to represent them. I can't be bought. I can't be bossed. I can't be bullied because I'm not taking their money. And so that's what's so important here. And that's why I'm fighting for small business and small business ownership.
Now, also, I wanted to ask about universal health care. What does that look like for you?
Sure. So both of my parents are doctors. My father was a psychiatrist. My mother was one of the first Black female anesthesiologists in the country. My father's unfortunately passed away, but healthcare is one of the bedrocks of my family. My grandfather was a pharmacist. My other grandfather was also a physician. And when we think about healthcare, we have a healthcare crisis in our country. It's completely broken. The number one cause of personal bankruptcies in our country is healthcare. One third of all GoFundMes is medical related. GoFundMe is not a health plan. People are deciding between paying for quality healthcare and quality of their housing. They're rationing their life-saving prescription medicine. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. And we have a stranglehold because Big Pharma spent over $375 million on elections in 2022. They're predicting they'll spend over $400 million on candidates in hard money and dark money, soft money, in elections in 2024. We need to be able to negotiate prescription drug prices down. We need to have universal health care. Health care, you get the right to see a doctor and without causing a personal bankruptcy issue. You have a right to high quality health care plus mental health care. We have a mental health care crisis in our country. Our jails are the number one facilities of so-called mental health care holding and treatment. That has to end, and we can do that through policy and through legislation. And so I'm a massive proponent of universal health care. Another difference between me and my opponent did not co-sponsor Medicare for All in the 117th and 118th Congress. I would have co-sponsored Medicare for All in both 117 and 118.
So help me understand this. You in Detroit, we know that Detroit, Metro Detroit has carried the Democratic Party. If they don't win Detroit, they don't win the state of Michigan. It's a lot of things tied into Detroit. There is not a single debate on the Democratic for this Democratic nomination in Detroit.
Not a single debate has been scheduled or accepted. I mean, they've been scheduled, but not accepted. So there's one coming up next week that the Michigan Democratic Party Black Caucus invited to in Detroit, and she apparently has declined. I will be there. And if I'm there next to an empty podium, I'll be there next to an empty podium. I hope maybe you can live stream it on your show. You know, this is what we have to do. We have to show what's going on. And for someone running as a Democrat who is trying to ask for votes that does not want to inform the voter, that's taking a page out of a MAGA playbook. Yes. And that's not how we, I mean, just think about this. I think it's playing a very dangerous game, to your point. Michigan is a red state until Wayne County votes, until that's Black fabulous. Votes, until Detroit votes. And you're unwilling to actually go in front of the voter?
That's what makes you to me, it's a slap in the face.
It's complete disrespect and a slap in the face. It's a disrespect to the Michigan Democratic Party Black Caucus to completely ignore their request.
Biden doesn't win presidency if Michigan Democrats don't show up. If Detroit right. doesn't show up.
That's you know? Exactly right.
We know how
we've said this time and time again. In fact, a reporter came to me and said that they think someone should write an article that says, can Hill Harper save the Democratic Party? Because the way they've broken it down is that they said a Biden-Harris-Harper is the only ticket that can deliver the energy enthusiasm from two key constituency groups that are necessary for Biden-Harris to win Michigan to elect the first Black senator in the history of the state. And it's also turnout from the Arab and Muslim and immigrant community that are upset and hurt. And they know that a Biden-Harris ticket does not do that because of any number of reasons, not to mention her voting to sanction the ICC just last week for them saying that Netanyahu has committed war crimes. And so they know that she is not a champion of their issue. And so how do they expect that constituency group when they voted over 100,000 uncommitted to vote for that ticket? Our campaign is
the only name on that ticket. I know we got the rhino. I mean, Republicans are named only. Is she a D? Is it what they call a Dino? A Dino? Democrats are named only?
A Dino.
Dino.
Yeah, Dino. That's it. Dino.
And Ms. Porter says they won't debate because they think they are entitled to.
Online comment from Angie Porter. We got another online comment from Danita Thurgill over in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Go ahead, Big Rob, read her comments.
Thank you for your efforts and dedication. I would love for you to schedule the debates and participate, even if she doesn't accept. Change the rules, shake it up. You control the narrative.
Thank you for that. And I agree with you. When the Detroit Regional Chamber pulled the debate down because she pulled out, I was actually very upset. I said, listen, they should have kept the debate on. It should have still been on PBS, and there should have been an empty seat or podium next to me. And I guarantee you, if she was there, she probably would have come on the stage, because the last thing she would have wanted is an empty seat. And so you can't let the Democratic Party establishment or her campaign dictate the rules. And that's part of what we have to argue for journalistic integrity and the press. And I will say this, we're going to launch a new ad tonight. We're going to launch a new ad tonight. And I hope that you all, our first TV digital ad, and I hope that you all will share it, because the way we get message out as well is sharing it on our social platform. And so once we launch it, please share the short version, the long version. It's an ad that really is close to my heart. When I've been going around the state, I've been trying to talk to people about how we need to redefine what a U.S. senator is and does, and not just sit back and say, okay, we're going to elect somebody, they're going to go away for 6 years, and we're just going to hope that they do what they said. And the only time we really see them is when they come to some fundraiser in our community and we write a check and take a picture. We have zero connection to the most powerful the most powerful, as far as access to capital, representative we have in our life in Michigan. We have direct representation. A great person came up with an idea saying, hey, you're talking about it's our seat. And because I say it's our seat, it's everybody's seat. And so we've been taking the actual U.S. Senate seat. I'm going to sit in the Senate. We've been taking it around and people have been signing it. So it's a seat that's signed by the people. And I get really moved when I talk about it, because that's what I want my candidacy to represent. It's not about elect Hill Harper, the U.S. Senate. No, it's about we're going to claim our seat. And Hill Harper is going to be our mouthpiece, our microphone. And we're going to be sitting in that seat with him. We're going to join arms collectively and go sit in the seat together. So I'm going to have the only Senate seat in the U.S. Senate that looks like it's been covered with signatures, because it really has. And every time the other senators see me, they're going to know, and they see this seat. To some of those, some of them, it's going to look like graffiti. But they're going to know that I am there representing all of these signatures. And that's what the ad is about. And I hope you guys will share it when you get a chance to see it. Grab it off my socials. Grab it out there. I can send you original versions of it to push it out. We got to share this. And that's the way we can fight back against them trying to not debate, too.
All right. We're going to go to this comment after this question. For Muskegon Heights and Muskegon, you know, when we see money being spent outside of this country in Ukraine, money going to overseas wars that we have nothing to do with, but our streets are tore up, our streets are in terrible condition. How can we get those monies back into the Black community? Folks who are playing, who pay their taxes just like everybody else, but need a little help on the infrastructure. How can we get those dollars back, and what can you do to make that happen?
Great question. And listen, this is really important, and I hope everybody will use this to educate folks about this, because what I found in talking to people, when I ask a lot of folks from our community, I say, you know what a U.S. senator does? They can't tell me the difference between what a U.S. senator does, what somebody from the House of Representatives does, what a state senator does, or from the state house. They can't tell me the differences. And so this is critical. Remember this. The Supreme Court rules on the constitutionality of what the U.S. Senate passes. The executive branch or the president signs into law or vetoes what the U.S. Senate passes. The House of Representatives or 13 congressional members in the state of Michigan send a bill to the Senate. They can't pass any things themselves. They send a bill to the Senate. It's 100 people in this country, two from Michigan and two from every other state, that determine how $7.2 trillion annually is spent. So to answer your question, yes, who you elect to the U.S. Senate more than anyone in your life, including the president, is responsible for that question you're answering. That's why this U.S. Senate seat is so important. If you don't want your money, that's your dollars going for overseas endless wars, but you'd rather have it spent on universal health care at home, then vote for Hill Harper. If you would rather have your money not give tax breaks to Department of Defense contractors or big oil, but you'd rather see it spent at home on public education, infrastructure, or small businesses, then vote for Hill Harper. That's just a simple example. The Senate decides where the money goes. I'm going to be fighting. The simplest way to put what I'll be doing is fighting to get money back to us in our community. And you see all the other senators do it, but since we've never had a senator that's representing our community, we've never had the money flow back. That's why this is so important. That's why I want to shout it from the rooftop. Simplify it for everybody. Simplify it. It's not that complicated. Hill Harper's going to the U.S. Senate to try to get our piece of that $7.2 trillion back to us. That's it.
Big
All right. Darwin Smith said, Alisa Slocum has avoided or withdrew from four debates. Mackinac Island, Michigan Black Democratic Caucus, Oak Park, Huntington Woods, and four, Wood TV 8, this Tuesday in Grand Rapids. She's booked, then canceled.
Wow.
That's right.
He has another comment here, Big Rob.
We the people of Michigan have a right to be informed about different sets of lived experiences and democratic values.
That's right.
Let's pressure she to debate Hill Harper in the city of Muskegon Heights or Grand Rapids, Michigan now.
That's right. I would love to do a debate in Muskegon Heights. I think that that would be powerful. I think we should do it. I think that we should put pressure on. We need to highlight some of the things. You know, it was environmental justice is a big issue for me. Clean water is a big issue. I know that Muskegon Heights, there was a boil advisory recently. We have to do these. I'm the only candidate that's demanding shutting down Line 5. There's been 31 breaches of Line 5. It's past the expiration date. Canada gets most of the benefit. We're playing with the clean water in our Great Lakes. We have PFAS poisoning. I'm the only candidate in this race that is opposing the expansion of Camp Grayling, one of the top PFAS polluters of our groundwater. You know, Enbridge, the company that controls Line 5, already poisoned the Kalamazoo River in 2010. We can't let it poison our Great Lakes, and we can't let PFAS poisoning continue. You know, these are real issues that are affecting people's lives. Environmental justice is real. And so doing a town hall in Muskegon Heights would be powerful. I'm proud that we have a campaign office in Muskegon Heights, and I want people to know they can come and volunteer. They can door knock. We want people to come pick up lawn signs and yard signs. We need to get, you'll put a sign inside your window of your business, or you put up a sign, a big 4x4 sign if you have some property, there's a lot of traffic, all of that. We need your help. Spread the word.
Well, we ask every government, every U.S. federal government candidate this question. Your thoughts on reparations for slavery?
Yes. Great question. Let's be very clear. I'll start it off. My opponent voted against just the study of reparations. I would have emphatically voted for the study. I'm in favor of reparations done properly, and we have to study it. We have to figure out what's the most effective and efficient way, what's the number, all of those things. But just as a simple difference, another example, these are real votes. And I'll just be clear, I have nothing personal against my opponent. We just have different lived experience, different set of values. And we would make decisions differently, clearly, about so many issues, particularly issues that are facing our community. She hasn't had the lived experience from our community. And, you know, just, it's very clear and, you know, simple that we're very different. And the answer to that question is yes.
Wow. I didn't know that she voted against the study. I just assumed the Democrats supported that.
She voted against the study. And you know who had put it forth first? Congressman John Conyers, yes, in 1989.
Year.
He put forth the allocation for money for the study of reparations. It hasn't passed. And it's been put forth almost every 2 years. And my opponent voted against it.
Wow. Why are you running, before we go, why is Hill Harper running? What's your passion? What is driving you?
And what's driving me is that I've never been a person that can sit back and see so much injustice, so much malfeasance, so much broken in a system, and where I could have positive impact and just bring common sense solutions and have the ability to impact change and be a voice for people who are voiceless, the voice for people who aren't represented. And I'll tell you, to be honest, this is a life or death, in many ways, election. And I say that without exaggeration or hyperbole. There are literally people, more than one person died on the streets of Detroit over this winter because we're not solving the housing crisis. There's a young girl in Grand Rapids, a young child in Flint, and a young 14-year-old in Detroit at East Indian High School, all within the last 4 weeks, they've been killed because of gun violence, and gun violence is the number one cause of death of children because we're not willing to take on the NRA and the gun lobby and have common sense gun law. There are people who are literally dying because they're not being adequately represented from a healthcare perspective. There are people dying because they're put in a position where they have to do illegal and harmful body autonomy procedures because we're not passing women's reproductive health and women's reproductive freedom. These are things that are life or death. We know that the Black maternal health crisis is happening and babies are dying. We need representatives in the U.S. Senate that are willing to fight to solve these problems and issues. And if we keep doing the same thing all over again, electing the same type of establishment politicians, electing the same type of people, these career government politicians who keep saying the same thing but ultimately do not deliver for us, we're going to keep getting the exact same results, which is killing us, literally killing people in our community.
Well, Bill Hopper is running for the U.S. Senate for the Democratic nomination. Now, people want to know, you and President Obama are friends. Is he going to endorse you? Do you think he's going to endorse you, or is he just going to stay out of the race? Because if he come on board, you know, that could change, that could move that meter.
He has said publicly that he does not believe a former sitting president should involve primaries within the party. And listen, I wish that every single other Democrat throughout the establishment did the same thing and acted in that same classy way, because clearly they're putting the thumb on the scale. But he's doing what is the right thing to do. Nobody else should be doing it. They are doing it. That's why we have to fight back in a different way, in a more aggressive way.
Wow. Got another comment here for you, Hill Hopper. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Benita Threadgill says, it's such a pleasure working with Darren Smith along with Karen Bowie at events across the state to campaign to elect our next senator for the state of Michigan. Hill Hopper, hashtag better together.
We are. I'm so thankful. There's no way an insurgent campaign like ours can win without the support of people. I can't win. No way. We need collective help and support. So anybody who's listening, if you're in Muskegon Heights, Muskegon, Grand Rapids, the western part of the state, we have office in Grand Rapids. We have office in Muskegon Heights. We could use your help. I can give a text number that folks can also text and share this number with other folks that they can text to get involved in the campaign, no matter where they are in Michigan. They can also share the number with people outside of Michigan if those folks are willing to help fund, because we need funding as well. You know, buying these lawn signs, putting up billboards, running these ads, all the things to reach voters that we have to do, sending out text messages, they all cost money and we need help. So take out your phones, 313-942-4455. That's 313-942-4455. If you text that number, you'll get an auto text response from me and a link. You sign up and then we can text back and forth. We can stay connected with you no matter where you are. And it's so 313-942-4455. Please text and please support.
Well, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna reach out to the other Black media across the state and see, can we put something together, the Black media, what print and radio, and see, can we put something together to have this discussion? Because it's too important and not to have a debate. I can't believe that is happening. That sounds like Trump. It's like a Trump campaign there. You know, we definitely need to hear both sides of this political thought. So thank you so much. Anything else you want to share to the audience before we go? Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I just say this. The first three words of the Michigan Constitution and the first three words of the U.S. Constitution are exactly the same. We the people. It doesn't say we the super PAC. It doesn't say we the political party. Doesn't say we the politician, doesn't say we the corporation. It says we the people. This campaign is all about the people. And I want to lock arms with everybody who's listening right now and anybody who sees this and walk into the U.S. Senate together and represent you, be your microphone, be your mouthpiece, and fight for each other. So we the people can win this seat. Polls don't vote. Money doesn't vote. People vote. We got to turn out the vote. Everybody has a phone who's watching this right now. You all have contacts in your phone. You all can be your own campaign organizers and campaign managers for turning out the vote August 6th. If you just took the 50 or 100 people or plus who are in your contact list, then I'm going to own 100 people and make sure they vote. And I'm going to ask them individually to turn out 10 each. And I'm going to follow up with them and make sure they do it. That's 1,000 votes that everybody who's watching this now could actually turn out. And remember, there's 40 days of absentee, 10 days, 9 days of early in-person voting. And there's also same day registration. If you have a felony, probation, parole, you can vote. If you're in jail awaiting trial, you can vote. If you're 17 on August 6th, but you'll be 18 by November 5th, 2024, you can vote. Let's spread the word, tell the truth. Let's make sure people vote, make sure they get out, and everybody on here deliver 1,000 people each, and we win this thing. God bless you and thank you.
God bless. Thank you for your time, Hill Hopper. Have a good day.